Week 7, Day 2. Today's scripture reading is Acts 13, verses 13 through 52. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness, and after destroying 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, no, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us their children by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he says also in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you." As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Be a Galvanizer by Josh Fuhr. I remember seeing a church video where one person goes up to their friend and tells them all about how cool their church is. They explain how grateful they are for their church community and talk about their upcoming Easter service. Then they end by saying, and you're not invited. And it shows a graphic that reads, not inviting is the same as uninviting. This always comes to my mind when I think about inviting people to church and ultimately sharing the gospel with them. Sometimes I fall into this trap of keeping things to myself and forgetting to include other people, even with something as amazing as a relationship with Jesus. Uninviting is the opposite of galvanizing. My friend Caleb is extremely good at galvanizing, to the point where he can't even help himself from telling people all of his favorite movies and restaurants, because if he enjoys something, he deeply wants other people to enjoy it too. You might be wondering what this has to do with Paul, and it's because we see Paul exhibiting this exact same spirit of galvanizing when it comes to the gospel. However, we see some of his listeners attempt to keep it quiet and contained to themselves. Look at the difference between the responses of the Jews and Gentiles to the gospel in Acts 13. Verse 48 says that the Gentiles were glad and honored the word of the Lord. Meanwhile, the Jewish leaders thought they wanted to hear what Paul had to say, but when they realized the message of the gospel was threatening their control, they tried to shut it down. They wanted to continue to be God's special people and didn't want Jesus' message of freedom extended to the Gentiles whom they deemed unworthy. So they went to great lengths to uninvite the people around them. So maybe you're not purposefully excluding others from God's love, power, and his church, but by not inviting, are you accidentally uninviting them? If you truly believe in the transformative power of a relationship with Jesus and spiritual community, why would you keep that from the people who are close to you? Believe me, I'm writing this for myself too. Galvanizing does not come naturally for me at all, due partially to a fear of rejection, and maybe a little bit because, like the Jewish leaders, I want to keep my things comfortable and safe from other people by not letting them in. But then I remember what God did for me. The same God that transformed Paul and led him to evangelize entire continents transformed me too, and wants to take me out of my comfort zone so I can help to transform my friends, neighbors, and family members. If we have what the world needs, we should be sharing it openly, boldly, and unashamedly. Question 1. How is God calling you outside of your comfort zone? Can you commit to growing in that area? Question 2. Are you keeping the gospel from someone who needs to hear it? Even if it's the same person from yesterday, write their name and pray for them again. Question 3. How can you make space at church for more people to encounter Jesus? For example, attending third service, serving on a team, leading a growth group, etc. Daily prayer. Father, forgive me for neglecting to invite others into a relationship with you. I want to be open and honest about the joy of my salvation so people can see how you have changed me and can encounter you for themselves. Amen.